3, 2, 1.
I feel like my 3 was very aggressive.
Very aggressive?
I don't know. I feel like I was very adversarial with my counting. Yes, of course I'm agitated.
Why, James?
Because we are starting 73 minutes late because why, Catherine?
My mic was off.
Your mic is not near your face right now.
How do you know that?
Because A, I can hear you, and B, I can see you.
Oh, okay. I can't see you. Why can't I see you?
If you ever ask me that question again, because it's you, just because FaceTime is behind your GarageBand window,
there it is. Okay, I got it.
I will lose my
mind. I'm fine. We're good. We're so professional.
73 minutes because you forgot to turn on your mic.
I didn't forget.
No,
it appeared
you didn't
to
know
be
that
on.
It was off.
The blue light was on.
I don't know how many times we've gone over this, Catherine.
I know, and I've got stuff to do today. At least we have coffee. Cheers, James.
Yeah, my coffee is a little cold now because I made it 73 minutes ago.
Oh, my God. Well, go heat it up. We can wait. Oh, do you want to hear an update about my house? I went to see my mom the other day, and when I got home, the dogs were like, I could hear them howling through the window. We have the Anderson window, so you can't hear anything. I don't hear cars. I don't hear shit. There's something wrong. So I get in, and of course, the CO2 monitor was going off in a very annoying fashion. And so I just went out to the backyard and I'm like, I'm going to turn all the monitors off. So I turned the monitors off on the panel, the electric panel, and it was still beeping. In the meantime, my friend Steve was texting me if I wanted him to come over to fix some other electrical thing. I'm like, no, the alarm's going off. What should I do? He's like, get a broom or a bat and just pound it off the ceiling. And so I couldn't get up. So anyway, long story short, another friend came over and he got up on the ladder, took it down, took it off the wall, off the ceiling, and was holding on to it. And the goddamn thing was beeping anyway.
Yeah, well, it has a battery. Of course it's
going to
be beeping.
I just figured that out. It's in pieces now, and I bought a new one. I don't like home ownership. That's the moral of the story.
I think you would like renting even less.
I don't know.
So I'm sitting in my front parlor, and I like to look out my window. This is what I love about my front parlor.
Oh, it's a parlor now. Okay.
I see my neighbors walk by, dogs, cars, but I had a very unpleasant experience looking out my window this morning.
What happened?
A Cybertruck passed by my window.
I almost inhaled that coffee up my nose. That's hilarious. Did anything fly off of it and go through your window? That's my next question.
Not yet. I should check the street, but that just felt like someone punching me in the face.
That's hilarious.
I did not enjoy that experience.
In that neighborhood? I can't believe, like, the little streets?
We have two.
Oh, my
gosh. We have two.
Gosh.
And I don't know how to talk to these people.
I don't know. That's pretty funny.
So now that we're going to start the episode,
follow
up from last week, you were complaining that not everybody is on Blue Sky, so you're still on Instagram, aren't you?
Well, kind of. I have a toe in.
Okay, that's still on.
I have a toe in. Well, I went through.
So you are a fascist bootlicker.
Oh, yuck. I went through and I deleted everyone I'm following.
Does it taste good?
No, I deleted everyone I'm following. And I decided I had to wean slowly. You know, these things, like, it's an endorphin rush. You know, we are addicted. This is an addictive process.
Oh, bullshit. You don't have to wean yourself.
No,
you
I'm weaning.
You can cut it off if you wanted to. So you're a wiener.
I'm a wiener. Anyhow, I went through and I deleted everyone except my dog's Instagram that I was following. And I wanted to make sure I deleted a bunch of stuff. So I'm not following anyone, no one. And then because I'm not following anyone, I wanted to see what kind of crap would come up. And it was crap.
I don't think it's going to change your algorithm because it still has your history.
But it did change the algorithm. That's what I'm telling you. It was weird. Right. And so some of the people came up and then I'm like, but most of them didn't. And so now I'm ready. I'm going to turn it off this week.
My point was, if you do that, and we all do that, because your complaint was that they're not the same creators that are on Instagram, aren't posting Blue Sky. If we all turn off Instagram, they will start posting on Blue Sky.
Okay.
We would force them to do it.
The two of us.
Us as a community, as in the humans that occupy America and the world. I've been using YouTube Music. Because it's replaced podcasts because Google killed podcasts, Apple, Google Podcasts. And I've noticed that it really kind of sucks. Like when I turn it on, all I wanted to do is remember where I left off because I've been listening to podcasts and it can't do simple things like remember where it left off. Almost every time, 4 times out of 5, I have to restart the app or I have to keep smashing the button to restart the podcast. Uh-huh. I don't understand how they can. This is Google we're talking about. This is supposed to be one of the most highest tech companies in the world, can't seem to figure out how to do a podcast player.
You're right about that. That's why I don't do the YouTube music. I use Spotify.
Yeah, at least Spotify works.
Yeah.
The other thing about Google that I've noticed lately is I feel like they're just, everything in Google is devolving into YouTube. Occasionally when I use Google search, I usually use DuckDuckGo, but when I do go to Google search, I notice that like the top page of results, either AI or YouTube videos.
You're right. Yes. I rarely use Google search. I use DuckDuckGo.
Google Podcasts is killed and you're supposed to use YouTube. Google search is being killed and you're supposed to basically just use YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, guys, but like if YouTube is direct competitor with TikTok, I think TikTok is probably doing a little better. I think Google has kind of lost its shit.
You sent me a list of a lot of
good Lord.
A condensed products that Google has killed.
No.
And I was really in shock by that. I mean, I didn't realize there were so many because I've not followed.
What? Catherine, I sent you a list of a dozen.
A dozen.
That was my super condensed list of products Google has killed.
Right.
Because there are hundreds of them. I could literally spend 45 minutes of this podcast just going through them and blasting them for each and every one that they killed.
Don't. But
Then I created a shorter list that was like 50. And then I created a shorter list was like 20. And then finally I said, no, I got to get this down to like 12. And even that's too much.
Okay.
I put the top five most egregious offenders and we'll go through that. But did you want to say something?
I just want to say, do you think this represents just the fact that they're like morphing and growing and evolving? Like, is this an evolutionary process or something that we need to be critical of or could find criticism of?
I think it shows bad management because if you have successful things, you shouldn't kill them off just because it's not part of your core discipline or something, or because you have. I think what happens is they get these new paradigm shifts. They want to be this or they want to be that, rather than paying attention to what they actually are and what they're good at and what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you remember this, but back in the olden days, a lot of this is going to be back in the olden days. 20% of every Google's employees' time could be spent on their own projects.
Oh.
This is kind of the golden age of YouTube. It was the 20% thing. You get hired by Google as an engineer. You work most of your day on whatever crap they're giving you, but then you get to make your own thing. And a lot of very interesting things came out of that. A lot of great products, which they all wound up killing, even though they were being somewhat successful. It's like with Google, all these things come down to if they are not the number one leader in that given field, they kill it.
Oh.
And that doesn't make sense to me. You know, there are room for multiple players. Like in video games, you've got the Xbox, you've got the Nintendo systems, and you've got Sony. Those are basically the three big players.
Okay.
Microsoft has Xbox. The Xbox is not the winner. He's probably number three in that category, but Microsoft still makes billions of dollars off of it, so they're still in it. And Sony and Nintendo, who knows who's number one? But you've got three big players making a boatload of money. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be number one. You can be, there can be an ecosystem of multiple characters here, multiple companies. Anyway, so there's a list. Go ahead.
No, I was just looking at the list and I remember Google Hangouts.
Well, we remember all these things. But you
that's really the one that I remember because I wasn't really a big user of online stuff. I didn't even look at any social media till maybe around the pandemic, 2019, 2020. I wasn't a big user of any internet stuff.
You were on Twitter.
I was on Twitter. That was it, but none of this other stuff, but no longer Twitter.
Well, not all of this is internet related specifically.
No, some of it is though.
These are the 12 things. Catherine will eventually stop me before everyone turns off the podcast, I hope.
But they I've already done that, but that's okay.
I'm kind of listed in order of what's most egregious.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So the number one most egregious thing that Google ever killed, Google Reader. And I don't know if you remember Google Reader,
no.
But back in the day, like 10 years ago, when you got on the internet, were these things called RSS readers.
Right.
And every website would create an RSS feed, which is a feed you could go and, quote, subscribe to, shove it into a separate app called an RSS feeder, and then you can get, like, you know, your favorite blog, your favorite newspaper like CNN, New York Times, whatever you liberals like to read. It would condense everything in just like the headlines in the first paragraph, and then you could click through it, but it would condense all your stuff into one place.
Okay.
RSS readers were fantastic, and there was a lot of them gone at the time, and a lot of them, the good ones, you had to pay for. Then Google came along, made their own RSS reader that was really good, and it was free. So it basically completely killed the rest of the RSS reader market. They dominated it, and then for some inexplicable reason, they just turned it off one day. which seems to me to be completely irresponsible. You come in, you decimate the market, you kill all these thriving companies, you take over the market, and then you just kill it. And I genuinely think that if they hadn't done that, mm-hmm. that Facebook and Instagram would not be as big as they are today, because where do you go after that? Once you've lost your feed, you can't manage your feed anymore. Mm-hmm. You have to go and go to somebody else's feed instead.
Interesting.
So it's like that was one of the dumbest things they could have done. The second most egregious thing that they killed.
Okay.
Again, back in the long ago, they had this monumentally fantastic program for managing the photos on your computer. The pictures you had, the photos you had. It was called Picasa. And it was you download the app, and you can use it to organize your photos. And it was by far, it was also free. It was the best one available. And even today, there still aren't a lot of great apps that will do that. I use Lightroom, but I pay $10 a month for mm-hmm. that. So I don't expect most people to do that. So that was a project they had going for 13 years. And then one day they decided to kill it.
What happened to the images?
So they're just still on my computer, right? But Picasa no longer worked. And eventually, you know, if you upgrade your operating system, you can't install it anymore. So it's been years since it was able to install it. So it's just gone.
So you lost the images then?
No, I didn't lose the images. Okay. The images are still there, but they're not. I lost my organization, right?
I spent
this time putting tags and putting things in folders and organizing things, and all that's gone. And it's just, you'd think it would be really easy to manage photos on a modern computer. It's really not.
No.
I hear that Apple Photos is pretty good, but for a long time it was not good. I'm not all in on the Apple ecosystem, so I don't know how that works well.
Well, it's organized by like the day you took it. Mm-hmm. And then I guess it'll suborganize it by what it considers a pet or a human face.
That's not bad.
You know?
Well, you know, that's the thing. What replaced Picasa was Google Photos, which is mm-hmm. online, which I think is one of the reasons they killed it, was because with Google Photos, there's free storage tier, but you're going to run mm-hmm. out of that. So Google Photos, you got to pay for.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I think they want it to be online because that's Google's mentality. It's like, oh, well, let's kill that because it's not online. We can't really, right. not really do anything. We can't suck all their data in if it's not online.
Right.
So I have bad intentions for why Google killed Picasa, and I think that was really shitty.
Mm-hmm. What's one more?
Just one more?
Yeah, one more.
I got at least two or three, four or five, okay. or a dozen more.
Well, give me one.
This is the rest of the show, Catherine. Strap in.
Give me one.
Okay. The next one is Google Domains, which is really kind of niche.
Uh-huh.
So like subrantpodcast.com, that's the domain name.
Right.
When I create a website like that, I have to actually purchase and pay ongoing maintenance fees to have the domain name. There are different companies that do that. And GoDaddy for a long time was the number one place to go to, but they're kind of a shitty company and their prices kept going up. And Google decided to start selling domains. I'm like, well, this makes sense. That's like, you know, it's a trustworthy company.
Mm-hmm.
Their prices weren't the best, but they're also pretty good. And their tools, I already use a lot of other Google products right. with my domain names. So this made total sense. And for 7 years, I'm sorry, 9 years, that was my go-to domain registrar.
Okay.
And then one day they just decided to kill it. I don't know why. Doesn't make
just
any
overnight,
sense.
Just overnight? No notice? Yeah.
Well, no, they give you like 6 months. But then, you know, it's like, I don't understand this shit. Why would they kill it? Doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know.
Ugh. Successful product? I don't understand.
I don't understand.
Seem to be playing to their strengths.
What are their strengths now?
YouTube. Being a second-rate video player.
I watch YouTube on my TV now.
I watch YouTube in my browser now. Literally, this happened last week. I got so fed up with the ads being just mm-hmm. inserted anywhere and being so many of them and being right. so stupid and irrelevant. I downloaded a browser called Brave,
mm-hmm.
which has a built-in ad blocker, which ironically is built on Chrome. and now I literally watch everything through that browser rather than the YouTube app.
Oh, interesting.
And I see no ads.
Wow.
It's not as nice as having the app because the app has, the controls are a little bit better and more fluid.
Right.
But the trade-off of not having ads is kind of amazing. So good job, Google.
Oh, interesting. Because I know a lot of people pay for the Google with no ads.
Right.
I haven't so far. But it's like if you watch enough, I could get through like a podcast. I was watching the Tony Michaels podcast yesterday and there were breaks, a lot of breaks in it. It's okay. I could do other stuff, you know. I mean, I just have it on my TV kind of in the background. So that was interesting. I thought it may have represented an evolutionary process in their overriding game plan.
If you look through the list, it just doesn't make sense. They have all the things that they killed were successful to some degree. Like Orkut. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but Orkut was a social media network. They started like 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
One of the weird things about it was that it was more, it wasn't really US centric. It really started up in like Central America. And I think some part, the guy who developed it was from Turkey. He was a Google employee, and this was one of his 20% project time. Mm-hmm. It was going great. They had over 300 million users, and they said, well, you know, I think literally they mentioned Facebook was doing better, so they killed it. It's like, okay, just because it's doing better doesn't, you know, Samsung sells more phones than Apple does. That doesn't mean Apple's going to kill the iPhone.
I hope they don't.
Well, they don't because they make trillions of dollars off of it.
Right.
They don't have staying power. You know, they do something for a few years. And that's kind of a lot of this is they start building an ecosystem or a platform and then they just abandon it. And by abandoning it, you're abandoning the people who bought into it.
Mm-hmm.
Like Google Reader and Google and Picasa, it's like, I didn't pay anything for that. So it was a sad thing that they went down.
Right.
But they had this thing called Chromecast, which was a little media player that you plugged into your TV.
Oh, I remember that, was that, yeah.
Like, yeah, 11 years that went on for. They developed an ecosystem and boom, they just killed it. Like if you have a Chromecast, it only works for so long and then you got to find a whole new ecosystem and buy some new device.
Is Chromecast like Roku?
Yes. It was basically Roku. Like a lot of my friends used it and loved it. So they had a strong community. I don't know why they killed it.
Yeah. I have a Roku thing for the other TV. I don't know how to use that.
You plug it in and turn it on.
Okay.
It's mostly, Roku is mostly like a operating system for your TV.
Right.
And you install other apps on it. Like I have Roku and I have Flex Media Server. I have Hulu. I have Disney Plus, all running through Roku.
Okay. Okay. So I can run like all the movie channels and stuff I have.
Right. Yeah. It's basically just an operating system for your TV because most of the TV operating systems are terrible. So this is a way to get a better one. Bring it. We're going to do something new. We're going to bring some clips in from TikTok and talk about some tweets from, or not tweets, I guess, posts from Blue Sky and whatnot. So, you know, what the kids are doing, the social media stuff.
Okay, good for you.
The first video from Jamal Bowie.
To my mind, the biggest scandal coming out of Signal Ghazi, which is what I'm calling this right now, is not necessarily the use of Signal to share sensitive government information, although that, of course, is very illegal. It's not the fact that Pete Hegseth was maybe drunk when he was defending this. To my mind, the most important part of the scandal is when Stephen Miller, who's on the chat, says that he thinks that this is what the president wants to do regarding the military strike. And that language, that no one's really certain on that chat what the president wants to do, what the president's thoughts are, that makes me think and kind of confirms for me, really, that Trump is quite possibly even more checked out than he was last time. And that there really isn't any direction coming from the White House. It's everyone around him pursuing whatever they want to do and getting his signature attached to their pet projects. Now, this raises actually another issue, which is that if Trump did not actually order a military strike, right? If this is Stephen Miller basically trying to divine what Trump wanted and then passing that on, then it's entirely possible that the Yemen strike was unlawful. Not that that matters anymore, but it's just worth saying. It might have been like an unlawful use of military force. But again, to me, the big thing is that like the president just may not really be the president effectively, which would fit with the fact that Musk is effectively the president in many regards, at least when it comes to the federal bureaucracy. And it may be the case that some collection of national security officials are effectively the president when it comes to foreign affairs and foreign policy. So yeah, the U.S. may, for all intents and purposes, not really have a president. Also, the one other thing that's just funny about all of this is that, you know, some people think that there's some secret plan with these people, that they're more sophisticated than they look, but they're not. They're just a bunch of idiots. We have literally the dumbest people in the country running the country.
Yeah, I don't like that he says Pete Hegseth was drunk.
Why don't you like that?
Because I don't know that we know that to be a fact. And
okay,
I think
we don't know
it
for sure, but that first comment that he made when he got off the plane and didn't know what actually was going on, I watched it. I genuinely think he was drunk.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was not normal behavior. It's like he was not only belligerent, although he's obviously a belligerent guy, but just the way he was moving. I mean, maybe he wasn't drunk. Maybe he's just a deranged person by nature, but that kind of person, shouldn't be in charge of the national defense.
Well, I think that's really, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I guess I just don't like the labeling. I wish that the labeling would stop. And this is something I would talk about with my former partner when we were involved with the Arizona Democratic Party a long time ago, and the disparaging stuff and how they come out and just say, like, you know, kind of stupid stuff. Like, I love Jasmine Crockett, but calling someone like Hot Wheels, I mean, I thought that was a little bit. And, you know, it's just like, you don't do that shit. It's like, don't say stuff that makes people want to fight back. Don't say stuff that's going to open you up to criticism. Talk about the facts. The fact probably could be, or a root cause or core issue, is this guy sufficiently prepared to take on this position?
Okay, Catherine, I think you know, this is a, I know you're not necessarily Democrat, but this sounds very much like the problem the Democrats are having right now.
Uh-huh.
Because I understand what you're saying. You don't want to use demagoguery just for the sake of demagoguery.
No.
You don't want to use name calling as a normal thing.
No, I don't.
But if this guy is a fucking drunk, we should be calling him a drunk because he is a drunk. And
well,
that is a
someone
serious,
call him a drunk after they've diagnosed him as a
that's
drunk.
That's a serious problem. But it seems like it's right in front of our face. And if you're not calling out when it's right in front of your face, when are you? When are you going to start fighting back? When are you going to notice that these things are real? Like, we're,
so I'm a Democrat?
Yelling at Obama for wearing a tan suit is kind of dumb, right? But yelling at the Secretary of Defense for being drunk, that is serious shit.
But like, you could see Obama's suit. You could see Obama's suit. You can't see his blood alcohol level.
No, but I can see how he's acting. He's either literally drunk or he's acting like a drunk. He's deranged in some way that we should not be letting go. This is like, you know, okay, you're being polite and everything. It's not time to be polite anymore.
Okay. No, that's a point taken. I just don't like, anyway, that's just kind of my thing. I don't know. Maybe it's because maybe it's because I worked in
I think that's a totally fair point to make, but yeah. I think that is where the Democrats are falling down right now, is that they don't realize the fight they're in. It's like, there's no time left for being polite. Manners are gone. These guys, and this whole scandal is an absolute encapsulation of everything that is wrong with Trump. What Jamal is kind of offhandedly referring to,
right,
is really the big part of the scandal for me.
Because
what they're saying and what has been said kind of surreptitiously around and the comments that Trump himself have made suggests that Trump was not responsible for making the decision to do the strike.
He might not have been. That's kind of how it read.
Right,
I mean,
that's the point. And
that's a scary point.
He's the only one who has the authority to do it. So this whole strike was illegal on basically every level because it wasn't coming from someone who had the authorization. So who called for it? Who called for the strike if not the President of the United States, who actually has the authority for it?
It sounded like,
and then,
maybe
you know,
Stephen
what was
Miller,
hit?
I don't know.
Do you know what was actually hit in this,
no,
in this attack? It was an apartment building.
Right. They said they were going after the guy's girlfriend.
Her apartment building, because the target was seen going into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So they think he's in there. They blew up an apartment building.
Jesus.
Based on someone may or may not have been there. They also, in doing this and talking about it, they revealed the source for that information, which was an Israeli agent that, now he wasn't named, but the fact that that's now just broadcast, that's part of the intelligence community, is an absolutely massive security failure.
Right, but yet
in and of itself, like, every aspect of this is just a complete disaster.
I know, and they're going and saying that there's not a problem.
Right, well, they're lying about it. So that's why it's such a great encapsulation. They're doing illegal things, right? They're calling, someone is illegally calling for a strike on an illegal target. And then they're illegally talking about it on an illegal app in illegal channels. So Signal is a consumer-level app that you can download.
Yeah.
You cannot install this government computers.
They were saying that they had it installed, pre-installed when they got their devices.
Bullshit. It's not allowed to be installed on government devices because, like most things, it needs to be, only secure software is allowed on those things.
Right.
And they have, and that's the thing, they have secured software on secured devices. They have literally people who travel with them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone in this group, except, mm-hmm, of course, for the journalist, literally has people traveling with them to set up their secure information systems. So why they were using Signal is beyond me.
Well, it kind of avoids the Freedom of Information Act, doesn't it?
Obviously.
That's the only reason I can see.
So that's another level of illegality. You have a bunch of really, really dumb people,
mm-hmm,
doing illegal things and then lying about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then lying about it when they know the other guy has, like, the receipts. So the, mm-hmm, other guy comes with the receipts and they just keep lying about it. It's like, these are the facts and they keep lying about it.
I don't think anything's going to happen with this.
This has not died down yet. I think we got to keep it going. We got to keep this alive. We got to keep bashing them over the head with them until they leave office.
About 2 weeks before the Signal deal broke, a friend who texts me from her Android phone to my iPhone, we decided that we had read some article that there was some issue with that. So we decided to use Signal and we set it up. And you really have to consciously add someone. And Signal also prompts you daily for a PIN. Like they verify your identity daily.
That might be a setting because I don't get that in Signal. That is a setting, I should say.
Okay, well, I'm prompted daily and I can't remember it and I had to reset it once and then I'm like, how good is this? But you have to really consciously add someone. And so after this broke, she texted me and she's like, you know, how the hell did that happen? Because it took her a while. I mean, it took us both a while to kind of get used to not just going to our default setting, which is just text, you know, the text app. And so that's all I want to say. It's like, it was a conscious, and you can download your contacts and it's a conscious add.
Right. Well, the other thing that brings up is that when he was added to the group chat, it notifies everybody in the group chat that you know the person is on the line.
Right.
It also brings up the very interesting point that they're doing, since they can't install this on their government devices, they're using their personal devices. Mm-hmm. And that opens a big problem because since these guys didn't, none of them went through the standard FBI check because they all got passes. Trump basically gave them a get out of jail free card or a hall pass. All this would have come out, but what has come out in the past week, because journalists are finally doing some journaling, is that all these guys have open accounts all over the web. If you want to go buy Pete Hegseth's email and password, you can do that.
I saw that, yes.
And to think that China and Russia didn't do that 2 months ago, so that sounds bad, right? Mm-hmm. What's worse is that Signal is a great app, right? It's a secure messaging app. It has this great feature where you can, just like within an iPhone, like you can text from your computer, you can text from your iPhone, you can text from anything in the Apple ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Signal does the same thing. You can put on your desktop, your phone, your tablet. It makes it easy to add another device. So if I were a Russian agent and I had access because I have Pete Hegseth's email and password, I can basically get into a Signal account. I can add a device to his Signal account without him really knowing it. So then I'm basically monitoring or mirroring Pete Hegseth's Signal account.
Okay.
Everything he does on that, I can see, and he doesn't know it. It's like if I had your MacBook and you were texting someone from your iPhone, I would see those messages. Just like when you get home, you can see the messages on your MacBook. It's like I have another ghost MacBook that's connected to your account. So I can see everything you do.
That's because it's not a secure device, like through the government.
It's not a government issued device. These guys are so stupid and didn't go through the regular channels. So none of that was found out. None of that was dealt with. They're just stupid for doing that in the first place, for having so poor hygiene when it comes to security that their own stuff is out there and easily found and you can literally go and buy it. Mm-hmm. But yes, but the FBI not doing the due diligence because they weren't allowed to would have cleaned this all up.
Or at least set the rules so they were clear. I mean, my goodness.
Well, that's the other thing. They clearly have no idea what top secret information is.
And again, like the talking points, and even I was watching Pam Bondi yesterday, and they seem to be missing the greater point that you're talking about like Signal being a non-secure, I mean, just a commercial platform. And they keep talking, well, the information wasn't thus and such. I think it was. It seems, I mean, and I'm no military person. I'm not an expert, but I don't think it takes like a degree in expert to figure it out. You know what I'm saying?
You can make an argument on both sides of that. It's like, well, this isn't technically classified information, except that people who understand classified information have come out and said, no, this absolutely is classified information that they're sharing, and they're lying to you.
Right.
It's totally fair for you to have reservations about whether this is legitimate or not.
Right.
But then, okay.
But no, I'm sorry to jump over you, but like they always like... Their arguments and talking points always go like over the surface. It's like a boat skimming over the water and you really want to find like the dolphin underneath your boat or whatever, you know, that's a weird analogy, but like you're skimming the surface when like the real issue is like underneath, you know, it's like the real issue. I mean, no one's addressing the fact that like, what is the root cause here? What's the root cause of the issue? The issue is the platform, right?
Well, that's only one of the issues, Catherine.
Right. But it's a huge one, and they're not talking when they're responding to the questions.
Every aspect of this is huge. This is why this is like the absolutely best encapsulation of the disaster that Trump is, because you've got stupid people doing stupid things illegally and lying about it. And just, it's a catastrophe. I feel like we're going to talk about this again next week. We're really going to take it apart, because it's never been like this before. This is a clown show running our country.
It's a clown show that's very scary, because even for disparaging anything about, you know, the president, people are getting pulled off the streets. It's very scary to live under what I see is fascism at this point, you know, and I actually even get concerned about the podcast, like being critical. I don't feel that we have free speech anymore in this country. And I feel I don't want to capitulate or bend the knee, you know, but I do want to keep my nose clean and be able to keep caring for my dogs. And a lot of this shit like scares me.
You know, we got to fight back. And this is a very small way to do that. But I'm not going to take a sitting down.
Right.
And if that makes me, you know, a potential target for ICE, so be it.
Well, where would they send you?
Well, hopefully Italy. Do we get to have a checklist of where we'd like to go?
I don't know. I guess so. Do you want a quick story?
Sure.
About deportation?
The podcast has to wind up now.
Okay. I'll tell you my deportation story next week.
No, do it now if it's short.
Okay, quickly. I was many years ago, there was like a women, like when they open up the state legislature, they always have like a big, they used to have a big thing on the lawn and everyone would go down to the state capitol. So I was involved with a gentleman and he was like really involved in the Arizona Democratic Party. He goes, we got to go down. It's Women's Day. I don't even remember what year this was. And so we went down for Women's Day and there was, it was during the time of Jan Brewer, SB 1080 or whatever. Yeah, like that's how long ago it was. Okay. And so I'm walking around. I bought some little hangers, like little coat hangers from the Planned Parenthood people that said, you know, this is not a surgical instrument. Keep abortion safe and legal. And they were from the 70s. It was awesome. They were old. I still have some of them. And so we're standing there. And so this, and I won't name him, but it was a friend of my partner's. And he's an attorney. And he was there with a bunch of the DACA kids, and they were all chanting si se puede, and they were each talking about their experience, you know, as a DACA recipient, whatever, and their parents and the fears of deportation. It was quite poignant. Well, all of a sudden, we're surrounded by a bunch of white men open carrying, and I have like a really, really, really strong aversion to firearms. And this, I could still see the guy, I could still smell him, came up next to me and his gun touched my right hip. And I backed away and I said, sir, could you please move away? And he looked at me with such rage in his eyes. It was like Dark Willow from the Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I mean, it was like really crazy. He looked at me and he grabbed my shirt and yelled in my face with spittle and said, go back to your own country, to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, what? And so my partner pulled him off and he said, don't touch her. And he said, she needs to go back to where she came from. And I'm like, Chicago? And then I just turned and ran to my car. I mean, it was so scary. And he's running after me. And I'm like, what the fuck? These people can't even see. And so that's my point. They don't see anything, but I don't know. Did that even make sense? I think that's the end of the story.
Well, that's crazy.
Yes, it was crazy.
And then just yell at them that I'm from Arizona and tell them to go back to their country.
He was so gross.
Yeah.
So what's next? Are we winding up? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to have more coffee and I'm going to take my vintage lamps over to Phoenix Lamps and have them rewired and buy new lampshades. These are different lamps.
How many lamps do you have?
I have lamps galore. That's the name of my house. Lamps galore.
Maybe you should open a lamp store.
I'll just turn it off.
Good luck and good night.
Good luck.
Yeah, let's turn it off.
Yeah, that was great. Let's just turn it off. Okay.